Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight's episode of Nothing But the Truth with your host, Pastor Katie Pierce, and Truth Deliverance Ministry. We are just in awe that you would join us on tonight, and we do so appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to tune in on tonight. Amen. And so on tonight's study, we want to take some excerpts from Sunday's message to fathers. We minister to the fathers on Sundays and just begin to tell them who they are and who they share a title with, our Father, Abba Father in heaven, and how important it is and the awesomeness of being able to share that. And so as we look at the scripture, we want to reflect on today what we share with the men and how we need to be looking at this and some of the issues that we're having with fathers and fatherless children and things of that nature. So again, thank you for joining us on tonight. And we're going to open with a word of prayer. Hallelujah, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, oh God. We come on tonight, oh Lord God, because we love you, oh God. We come on tonight, God, because we understand that without you, we can do nothing. We understand, oh Father God, that it is through you that we live, move, and have our very being, oh Lord God. So we pray now, God, as we begin to impart your word, oh Lord God, we pray now that you will open our eyes, oh Lord God, that we may behold wonderful things out of your law, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that your word will go forth, oh God, and that it'll fall on good ground, oh Lord God. We pray now, Father, that the word will take root, oh Lord God, and that it will grow up, oh Lord God, and be that matured man, matured woman that you're calling us to be in Christ, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So, Abba, Father, we love you, we bless you, and we honor you on tonight. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen, amen, and amen. So as we begin to just look at our lesson, touch base with you about some of the things that we ministered about on Sunday. One of the things we talked about was a father and the fact that men are called fathers even as God is called father. So you share a title. You share the handle of a father with the Almighty God. That's an awesome statement. That's an awesome thing to reflect upon, that God would say that I want you to share my title. I want you to be called fathers. Now, in order for you to be a father, or in order for you to have the attributes of Father God, you need to first come into the knowledge of who he is, except, you know, begin to look at him, begin to look at God, his attributes, what is it that he does, and what is it that you need to be doing in order for you to be a good father, amen? And so we want to begin to look at some of those, the attributes of God. We want to begin to look at just the fact of what the Bible says about father. And so when I looked up the word father, and I did look it up in the Layman's Bible Encyclopedia, the Layman's Bible Encyclopedia says that a father, the word is used in the Bible in several senses, the most important of which are the reference to God as the Father of Christ and of all men. It's a male parent, you know, it's a male parent, you know, and I've heard many women say that, you know, they've been a father and they've been a mother to their children because the father, for whatever reason, may have left the home. I come against that now. You are the mother. You are the mother. We, as women, we could never be a father to our children, but we can allow God. We can direct our children into the presence of God so that God, who is all of our fathers, can begin to pour into it. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And so a father is a male parent. It can be referenced to as an ancestor. It can be referenced to a chief or a ruler. It can be referenced to the author or the source of anything. With relation to the second meaning in the Bible, which is quite explicit, it's enjoining love, it's enjoining obedience, respect for one's father. It is equally clear to the duties of the father toward their children, setting forth the needs of love, care, guidance in the family and in the religious relations. The encyclopedia, the Bible encyclopedia says the absence of a father in a home is considered a serious misfortune, and we are taught that God is especially watchful for the fatherless. And, you know, when I think about it and hear the word, well, talking about the fatherless, the only way that that should be something indicative or something applicable is the fact that the father is deceased. The father has passed away. What we have now are not children who are fatherless. We have children who have absenteeism fathers. Come on, somebody. Their father is alive, just didn't think to care to look back at the child for whatever the reason may be. And there's a huge difference in that, the absenteeism fathers and being fatherless. Amen. Okay. And so as we begin to look at that, we want to just begin to talk about how, you know, a father is one who we should give high honor and high esteem to. We know that the scripture says that children are to obey their parents. It says to honor your mother and your father. In that statement, I want to say how shameful it is that moms tend to talk down and belittle and berate the father of the child because of whatever reason. Maybe they're separated, maybe he's gone his own way, and now you're taking time out to berate him, whatever the reason is. But honor the father. We have to teach our children, no matter where their father is or no matter what the circumstances and the reason, women, we have to teach them to honor their father. Amen. And so I want us to begin to look at that. And I want those of you who are listening to me, if you've been talking derogatory, if you've been talking negatively about your children's father in the presence of your children, I want you to stop it. I want you to change, especially if you're in the household of faith. I want you to begin to consider what it is that you're doing. Amen. Consider what it is that you're doing, because what you're doing is causing the child to dishonor the father, thereby bringing a curse. Come on, somebody say amen, because the Bible says to honor him. And so in what you're doing in feeding him to have them to dishonor their father, you're going against the word of God. Oh, my God to glory. That just blessed me. Amen, amen. This is hot off the press. This is hot off the press. And so, women, we have to be very careful. Mothers, we have to be very careful that we're not teaching our children, that we're not giving them ammunition that we think, ammunition to dishonor. Amen. Because we know that the scripture says that if you don't honor your father and your mother, that your days will not be long upon the earth that the Lord thy God has given thee. And so we want to make sure that we're not causing the children to have dishonor towards their father. So, we want us to understand that the men share this title with God. And as I reflected on this alone, again, I was in awe. As we look at the scripture and understand in Matthew 7, those of you who want to make a note, in Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. I have a Bible that's, the writing is a little larger than this one, but we're going to make do with what I have. Amen. Okay, so we're turning to the scripture in the book of Matthew. Those of you that have your Bible, I would love it if you would turn with me to the scripture. So Matthew 7. Amen. Matthew 7. And actually, this particular scripture is noted in two places in the Bible. It's recorded in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And it's also recorded in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, the 9th through the 13th verses. Amen. And I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to pinpoint what it is we need to pull out of this. And so 7 through 11 says, it might help if I go to Matthew. I'm in Mark right now. My apologies. And the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Amen. Then it goes on and saying, therefore, whatever men shall do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Okay, and so in this particular scripture, he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And of course, this particular scripture is talking along the premise of praying. It's talking along, opening up with prayer. Okay, and so it's talking about prayer, but it's also talking about the, as children of God, how we go before him, and his desire is to give us what we ask for. His desire as a father, as Abba Father, his desire is to give us. If we ask, he said it'll be given. If we seek, he said we'll find. If we knock, he said the door will be opened unto them. And so then he goes on to say, and we being evil, if you being evil, this is the translation that I have, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your Heavenly Father desire to give you? So the scripture again is talking about prayer, but there's a correlation between an earthly father and our heavenly father. I found further in my research that the word daddy has no origin. You know, I had a thing where I would say it in humor, or say it in jest, and I would say, you know, that's just my baby's daddy. My children's father and I are divorced, and whenever I would see him, I'd be like, ooh, there go my baby's daddy. And we would laugh about it. And so in my studying this particular scripture, studying about the Father and how there's a correlation with the earthly Father and the heavenly Father, God began to tell me, and looking up and finding out that daddy has no origin. It only started being used, I believe the research said, in about the 1500s. But prior to that, it really had no origin. They said that in research and in looking at it, it said that they think that the word daddy derived from childish gibberish, where a child was saying da da da, and some kind of way it started getting translation, and it evolved into daddy and dad. Amen. But the word itself has no origin. And so God began to correct me and tell me that you need not say that, because he has an origin. Hallelujah. He's a man of God, and he has an origin. And his origin is directly sown into me. And just as I am Abba Father, he is their father. Now watch this. God loved so much so that he allows men to, again, share his handle, to share his title. And the reason why he does that is because it takes the man's sperm in order for a child to be created. Go back to the book of Genesis. What did God do? God, the Father, scooped up some dirt from the ground, and he molded and made from that dirt man. And the Bible says that he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. The egg of a woman cannot do anything until the sperm meets it, the man. Therefore, the sperm creating, come on somebody, creating a living being within that woman. Amen. And so he was created to create. Ha, rekediata. I feel that thing. Mm-hmm. And so we need to begin to understand, and in order for a man to really be the father that he needs to be, he needs to study the attributes of our Father. Our Father, our Father who created us, our Father who takes care of us, our Father who sustains us, our Father who's our protector, our Father who's our keeper. Amen. And so when you look and you're talking about being a father, hallelujah, you're carrying the title of a father. Hey, God, you should be, or the characteristics of you should be indicative of the same characteristics that our Father. Our our Father in heaven, that you should be caring. That you, and as I begin to look at that, how God says, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that our Father said he'll supply the needs. And so there should not be any such thing as a deadbeat dad in the body of Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That Abba Father puts us in a position and a situation where we shall not want. Now, does that mean you give your child everything? No. But it does mean that you're there as a provider. You're there to guide. You're there to nourish. You're there to build them up. Hey, Yashanda. You're not an absenteeism father, but you're there. My father, Lewis Hughes. Oh, my God. I said he could have been an example to many men. My father and my mother had a very tumultuous relationship. In fact, they didn't get married until after, I believe I had been married a year maybe. No, I don't think it was quite a year. But I had been married some months before my mother and father actually got married. But prior to them, their being married, I don't care where my mom was, I don't care where we lived at, my father made sure he was in the picture. He made sure he was in the picture. And if you talk to any of my younger siblings, in fact, my sister that's over, well, any of my siblings, but especially those who are under me, my father was always there for them. They had, you know, fathers, but my father was always there providing for them and making sure that they had. He never gave any differential treatment to them or preferential treatment to me because I was his only daughter by my mom, but he took care of them. My older sister, whose father was in and out of her life, but he would come around. But when my dad took me shopping for clothes, he took my sisters and my siblings shopping. He never went anywhere and got just me something and came back and you know, and paraded it in front of them. He didn't do that because he was a father. He was a father. And so even had words with her dad because he took her shopping and came back with just her some stuff. And my father was like, no, we don't do that. He said, whenever I take, you know, Katie shopping, I take Kay shopping. And you need to do the same thing. If you don't come back in here with one something for her, because he was a man, he knew what being a father represented. My youngest brother would tell you in a minute, if you ask him, who is your father, he would say, Lewis Hughes. And Lewis Hughes was not his biological father, but he understood what a father was because of how my father entreated. Come on, somebody. And so we've got to begin to understand the attributes of God. And we have to begin as men, you have to begin to find out what are the attributes of God and allow Holy Spirit to make changes and do some things in your life so that you can be the father that God has called you to be, even if you have in baby mother drama. I can't say baby mama. Even if there's drama with you and the mother, if you allow Holy Spirit, come on somebody. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is there to lead us into all truth. So even if you're having drama, even if she's being difficult, my mom was somewhat difficult with my father, but it never stopped him from being around me. I can specifically remember instances where, you know, my mom and dad had fallen out and she had told him she put him out and he would tell me to, I would be on my way to school, walking to school, and there my daddy would be parked on the corner meeting me. And you know what he said? He would just say, you know, me and your mom having some differences, but I'll be here every morning when you're on your way to school till we get it rectified. He did what was necessary to ensure that he was in my life. Come on, men. Come on, men. Where there's a will, say it with me, there's a way. And so as fathers, you know, like God, he said, you know, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. As our father, he said, I'll never leave. He said, lo, I'll be with you always, even My God, my God. That's the attribute of Abba Father. What's your attribute? What have you let separate you from your children? What have you let separate? What have you not gone to God? I'm talking to saved men. I'm talking to men who know God. I'm talking about men who love God with their whole heart. What have you beseeched the Lord about concerning your children? Are you taking care of them? Are you doing what's necessary? Or have you quit a job because you felt like they was taking too much money? Hello, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Repent and get it right. Hello? And so we have to begin as men. We have to begin. And this is not a browbeating session. This is just something pouring into you and letting you know who you should, who you are a representative of. Who you are representative of. Your connection with your children helps them to understand who God is. And so no wonder why we have so many people who can't identify with God the Father, because their earthly father was not a good representation of what a father should look like. Now, am I blaming it totally on you? No, I am not. But you need to repent and get it right. And so your children look to you. I don't have a problem. I never had a problem accepting God's love for me, or accepting, you know, God as being a loving God, because my father was a loving father. I could totally relate to that. God would never leave me nor forsake me, because no matter what came my daddy's way, he always found a way to find me. Hello, somebody. And so what kind of representation of God have you given your child? As a father, as one who shares the title with Abba Father, with Father God, you share the title with him. What representation of God have you imputed into your children? Hello? And so we want to go back and we want to make amends, and we want to begin to do some things. So, and we don't want women, we don't want to refer to our children's father as my baby's daddy, and as, you know, because they're a father. And I think that, watch this, I think that by calling them that, you can prophetically speak over their lives. When you begin to say that you're my children's father, hallelujah, hey God, and that you're a representation of God in the earth, you're a representation of the Heavenly Father in the earth, and I prophetically speak in your life that you will be a protector, you will be a provider, you will carry the attributes of Abba Father in the earth. Come on, somebody. Oh, prophetically speak over him. Prophetically begin to pray for him. Okay, and so then, this is what I shared on Sunday, because it's not just about the men. It's about women and how we as women have belittled, we've berated, we've watered down the title. So again, we've got an understanding now. We're not going to reference him as daddy anymore, because we understand that the word daddy has no origin. And we want our men, we want our fathers of our children to be connected to something. Amen. We want the root of that thing to go deep. And so now we're going to prophetically speak over them and begin to call them our children's father. Amen. This is my children's father. This is my children's father. Amen. We don't even want to put that word daddy in our vocabulary anymore, because it's gibberish. Amen. And we don't want to call them gibberish, because the Bible says life and death lies in the power of the tongue. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know somebody hearing me. And so if you calling them gibberish and you wondering why he's acting childish and why he's acting like he's not the man he needs to be, check what you're calling him. Hey, God the glory. And so we don't want to do that. Now, women who, for whatever reason, you're in a man's life and he has children by another woman. They were in his life before you got there. It's your responsibility to begin to pour into him, to begin to pray. You can't make a difference in them. You've got to begin to accept them. If you're married, what's his is yours. That includes the children. Amen. And so you want to begin to pray and intercede and just begin to beseech God about that, that God will begin to join, that he'll begin to enmesh, amen, these families, these children together. Amen. Unfortunately, my children have siblings that were outside of the marriage, and I distinctly remember when my husband, ex-husband, wanted to bring one of the children over, and because of how the child came about, I had a lot of negative energy. I was like really upset about it. I didn't want this child around, and I was angry, and he said, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to get the child. I'm bringing it over. And, you know, and I was like, well, you can get it, but I don't want to have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? Just in my flesh. Come on, somebody. Just in my flesh, in my feelings, just feeling. And so he went, he brought the child over, and he set the child on our bed because he had left something in the car. And when he went to go to the car to get it out, the child looked at me and was crying, was crawling towards the end of the bed and was saying, Mama. And I looked, and my heart melted. I was just overcome with conviction, and I picked the child up, and I began to hug and cry and repent and say, you know, you didn't have anything to do with this. You know, I am just like so, I mean, I'm just boo-hoo crying. And when he came back in the house, he's looking like, whoa, what just happened? And so it was a girl, and her and my daughter, my son, they grew up. My daughter, I would oftentimes dress them alike and just begin to love her as my own. I began to love her as my own because I understood that it wasn't the child's fault. Listen, you guys, Christian women, I'm talking to women who love God and who are saying that this is your husband and you're trying to make a difference in his children and your children. You're wrong. Point blank, you are wrong, okay? You've got to find a way. And again, we've got to learn how to, oh, my God, we've got to learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us in these situations and in these matters so that God can be glorified in everything we do and in everything we say. And so you've got to begin to pray about it. You know, you've got to begin to stop making that little difference in them. They ask, or whatever you're saying. I don't even want to pretend like I know, but you know. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to help you to be able to blend that family together. Amen. To be able to blend that family together. And so I want to just hallelujah, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now, oh Lord God, for that woman who's trying to find a way, oh Lord God, to blend. We pray now, God, for that woman that's under conviction by the Holy Spirit, oh Lord God, that they've made a difference or they didn't want to see. They didn't even care that he wasn't in his child's life because it made less drama for them, oh Lord God. I pray now in Jesus' name that they understand that your heart goes towards children whose absenteeism, Father, oh Lord God, and that that woman will begin to let them know that it's okay, to bring the child around. It's okay to do it because it's bringing glory and it's bringing honor to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. And whomever I'm speaking to right now, just be allow Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit begin to do some things in your heart so that you can be receptive. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to tear down those walls, to begin to break that fallow ground around your heart so that you can be open, amen, open to blending that family. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, again, we're going to go back to, and we're talking about, you know, the Father. We're talking about the Father. And we're talking about, again, reiterating that fathers share the title of our Abba Father, our Heavenly Father, and that they have a responsibility to the child. I wanted to read a scripture to you. I know I'm all over the place, but this is so good. Mainly it talks about how the father is supposed to correct the son. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, and even the father, the son, in whom he delighteth. How we're supposed to bring correction as fathers. Now, let's just park there for a minute in the words of our own apostle, Dr. Shanette Houghton. Because there's so many absenteeism fathers, could it be that the reason why our teens, our young men, are so out of hand because they haven't had that person in their life, that father, to be there to bring correction? Could that be part of our problem in society, that we have so many absenteeism fathers, that sons are being brought up by mothers? And again, I say, a mother cannot be a father. She just can't. She just can't. And so could that be part of the problem? Then we have to look at it from this aspect, mothers, that you haven't allowed your son to, you haven't poured into your son to receive God as his father. Remember the scripture, and I want you to share this with your son who are having some issues and are going through some emotional instability because the father isn't there. I want you to remind your son that the Bible says that when your mother and your father forsake you, then the Lord will lift you up. And begin to let them know that God's desire is to step in and to begin to fill that void that they're filling as far as the father not being in there. I want you to begin to share that with them. And then I pray that, you know, God will begin to open up that one of the deacons in your church or some male somebody can stand in and be that role model to him to bring that correction that they need in order so that they won't make us ashamed. Amen. Amen. And so that's in Proverbs 3:12. That was verse Proverbs. And there are a lot of scriptures in Proverbs that's talking about the father and the correction to the son. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall have delight unto your soul. And of course, in Ephesians, it talks about, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's something about a father. And something about that male voice, that dominance of the male voice when it comes especially to sons. I can remember when my son was born, my children's father is 6'7". And when my children was born, my mom said, he's going to be tall like his daddy, and you need to instill some fear in him. Yeah, she wanted to let me know that, you know, he's going to get up some height and he's going to try you. And even though his father and I were separated, we had learned to have a cordial relationship. We knew how to co-parent. And so I told his father, if I call you, you know, you come. And I appreciate the fact that when my children were younger and I would call their father and say that they had a need or I needed him to back me in some disciplinary action, that he would always come around and be that that action, be that voice, that stern voice that my children needed to hear. And so parents, women, you have to learn. You have to allow the man to be there because there are some things right here in Scripture that talks about what the father's supposed to do. And so I'm not taking anything away from you. Women, we're nurturers. We nurture, you know, we give that love, we bring that balance. But there are some things that the father needs to bring into that whole element of parenting, okay? And so you can't be holding resentment. You can't be angry. You can't stop him from coming to see the child because he missed the child support check. Come on, somebody. You can't stop him from coming around because he's got another woman and all the idiotic stuff that we tend to do. We don't do that, all right? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to maintain, to help you so that you all are cordial with each other, and that you're giving that son what he needs from his father. You're giving that daughter what she needs from her father. Remember the daughter looking at her father tends to find out how a man should treat her. Oh, fathers, how are you treating the mother? Fathers, how are you treating women? Amen. So if you looking at your daughter and saying, I don't know why she went and got this, can I just say it like you, this deadbeat, African. Yeah, I don't know why she done went and got him, and blah, 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 blah. What did she see in you? Hello? What did she see in you? If he's, you know, mistreating her and not treating her right, not treating her with respect, what did she see you doing? Hello? I'm going to let that marinate a little bit. Okay. And so we've got to remember that as a father, we show the daughter, we exemplify to the daughter what she should look for in a man, how a man should entreat her. I remember talking to one of our couriers, the UPS guy, and I had asked him one day, he came in, and I said, what are you getting your daughter for Valentine's Day? And this is before I kind of got into the study that Valentine's Day is a paganistic holiday, be that as it may be. Anyway, I asked him, what was he getting his daughters for Valentine's Day? And he said, oh, I'm going to get their mother something. She my Valentine. And I said, your daughters are too. Because if you start exemplifying that, then when they get with a man, they won't take less. They won't take less. You will already have set a precedence for them to understand that they're deserving of gifts. They're deserving of good gifts. Amen. And remember the scripture that we just read in Matthew talked about, if you being evil know how to give gifts to your children, how much more than your heavenly Father? And so we want to begin to set that example to our daughters of what it is, how a man should entreat her, how a man should talk to her. If you always yelling, screaming, cussing out your wife, cussing out the mama, then that's what she's going to accept from a man. Amen. And so we don't want to give the wrong impression. This is wonderful. I am so enjoying this, and I do appreciate you joining us on tonight. And so we begin to look at the fathers. We begin to look at the duties of the father. Again, we talked about the scripture that says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be long, that it may go well with thee, and that the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me read that again. That's in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, this is commandment. This isn't that you choose to do it. And so, again, I'm going back, you know, to mothers. I'm even going back to fathers. When you're talking negative and when you're giving your child a reason to dishonor, you're bringing a curse on them. So change your conversation. Change what you're saying. Amen. My father never said anything negative about my mom. Never. He always, you know, talked about her, you know, that it's going to be all right. Your mama, you know, hey, having a little problem right now. But he never would say anything derogatory. And so we've got to begin to learn. And one of the things that I share with my own son, because he has two daughters who are not with him, and I told him, I said, you have to learn how to find mutual ground. You have to learn how to be cordial. Now, was his father and I always like this? No. No, we weren't, because I was doing what I had been shown to do by my own mother. And so, you know, you talk about him, and he not this, and he not that, and, you know, your father didn't give us no money this month, and don't ask me for nothing, because tell your daddy he didn't, and just saying all of these negative and derogatory things until I was quickened by the Holy Spirit. I was quickened by the Holy Spirit that I needed to stop that. And that I needed to, you know, stop being angry all the time. When he would come over, we would almost be ready to go fist the cuffs every time he came to pick him up. It was an argument, and, you know, and the negativity that I was spewing out around my children, I wasn't being a good example of what Jesus Christ would have me to be. Come on, Christian women. I'm talking to Christian women. Amen. And not worry about what he is or what he is not doing. First and foremost, remember that he's bringing a curse on himself. Don't you bring a curse on you because of what he's not doing. Your provider is God. And so you have to begin to pray, you know, that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And you still want to be prayerful that God will open up and change the heart of the man, the father, to give to the children the way that he should. Okay. Time is getting away from me. All right. And so that's Deuteronomy 5. So we don't want to talk negative around our children. We don't want to talk negative so that they bring dishonor to the other parent. Okay. We're specifically talking about fathers, but it said the same thing for mothers. Now, Deuteronomy 27 and 16 says, "Cursed be he that set his light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Ye shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep the Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." And so it's just talking about the duty of a father, what a father needs to be doing, and how honor should be bestowed upon the father, amen, and upon the mother as well. And so we want to begin to look at that. Now, when we go back to the scripture, our base scripture, we're talking about in the book of Matthew, where he's talking about prayer and where he's saying, you know, that ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knocking the door shall be opened unto you. If you being, you know, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? And so how much more? I just want to just kind of park around in there for a minute. How much more? What is the how much more that you need God to do for you? What is the how much more, men, that you need God to do for you? How much more do you need him, you know, to make provision for you so that, you know, you can take care of your children? How much more do you need so that he can begin to help you with that back child support? I've never understood our society and our judicial system in the back child support and putting the amount so high that you can never catch up. And it's almost like indentured slaves. That our society has a habit of making indentured slave. Loan sharks. You know, putting you in a position where you never can catch up. You don't have a job, but they steady adding support payments to you, and you don't even have a job. What kind of sense does that make? And so we want to be prayerful. I want to be prayerful with you about that situation. Hallelujah, Father. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray now for fathers, God, who are in arrears with child support, oh, Lord God. And because they're in arrears with child support, their license has been taken, oh, Lord God. And because their license has been taken, oh, God, they can't go and find a job to meet the needs of their children, oh, Lord God. I pray now, Father, that you would begin to reverse this curse, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray now, Father, that you will begin to soften the heart of a mother, oh Lord God, to release them from the debt, oh Lord God, even as you release us from our debt. Forgive our debtors as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that they will begin to forgive them of that back debt, oh Lord God, and clear them to help them, oh Lord God, to get where they need to be, oh Father God, to build them up, oh Lord God, and by building them up, they build up the respect that their child will have for a father. And by building up the respect, they build up the honor. And by building up the honor, their days may be long, which the Lord thy God giveth them. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, bless now. Hallelujah, God. Bless now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And so we just want to begin to remember this a bit. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's heavy. That's heavy. So, Father, we come against the bitterness that these men are holding towards the children's mother, oh, Lord God. We come against bitterness and, and, and anger, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We pray now, God, that you will begin to soften hearts, O Lord God, that these parents will put the children above their own emotions, O Lord God, and that they'll allow you to come in, O Lord God, hallelujah, to help them to forgive, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they'll put some things behind them in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I wanted to give an example about when I was getting child support from my children's father. And my son had turned 18. He had gotten out of high school, and my children's father was like, okay, let's go down and let's get this thing changed. He out of high school, and my payment should go down. He was excited. And when we went to court, the judge said, oh, wait, hold on. You were never paying enough in the first place. So his arrearage went up. They recalculated the figure, and he was going to be paying about the same amount of money for the one child than he was just for two. And he was dumbfounded. And keep in mind, he wanted to do this. And so he was, you know, saying, I can't, you know, that's too much, blah, blah, blah. And then so the judge said, well, I suggest you go back there and you talk to your children's mother. And so we went in a room off to the side, and we were talking about it. And, you know, he was pleading this case with me and telling me, you know, what all he had to do and everything. And I released him from that debt. And the judge, when we went back in there, hallelujah, and I said, I release him from that debt, Your Honor. We can, you know, stay with the amount that's already been stipulated. And the judge was like, this is the first time since I've been on this bench that somebody, a mother, has ever, they usually try to get everything they can. And he was just in awe. And the bailiff was commending me, and everybody was commending me because they had never seen that happen like that in child support court. Stop trying to bleed the man dry. Stop that. You know, yes, you want to get what your kids deserve. You want them to help you to take care of your kids. But stop going for the jugular, mothers. Hello, stop going for the jugular and have mercy. You remember the scripture that talks about the man that owed some money and the servant owed him, the master, some money, and the master forgave him of that debt. And then he went out and somebody owed him a lesser amount, and he was about to have them thrown in prison for the lesser amount of money. And when the owner heard about it, he was upset. We want God to forgive us. We want God to have mercy upon us, but we don't want to have mercy on nobody. I just want you to think about that. Let that marinate a little bit, that we need to learn how to show mercy. We need to learn how to show mercy. And in showing mercy, God will show mercy to us. Amen. Amen. Mothers, I so appreciate you guys listening in on today. And so, as we begin to, or as we're coming to a close of this lesson, I just want us to begin to understand some points that, and reiterating some of the points that we've gone over. And one of the points is that, fathers, you share a title with Abba Father, with Father God. And in sharing that title, you want to be a good representation of who God is in the earth to your children. You want your children to get a good idea of what Abba Father looks like by how you entreat their mother, how you entreat them, the fact that you're not an absenteeism father, the fact that you're not a deadbeat dad, and you're not trying to take care of them. You want to show them, and I'm talking to Christian men. I'm talking to Christian men, and we're finding this too much even in the body of Christ. We got people in the church who hold offices in the church, who hold positions and titles in the church, and you're not taking care of your children. You're wrong. You're wrong. Amen. And you can't just blame it on her. You can't say, well, she won't let me see him. Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to show you how you can connect? Have you set that thing? He said, ask and it shall be given. Have you asked God to put you back in your children's life? He said, seek and ye shall find. You can't find them. Have you sought to find them? Hello. Hey, God. And so we want to begin to look at these things. Hallelujah. And we want to make sure that we're a good representation. Men, fathers, you want to be a good representation of Abba Father in the earth. Women, to the mothers, you don't want to be putting bad seed in your children's ear. You don't want to be talking negatively about your children, because the Bible says that when you do that, you're causing them to dishonor their father. And in causing them to dishonor their father, you're bringing a curse, according to the scripture that we read to you in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. And so we don't want to cause them to dishonor their father because of the negative things that we're saying. You want to begin to prophetically speak over that man, over the father of your children. You want to prophetically begin to speak, amen, about him. You want to be in prayer about him. If he's a man that's walked away and not taking care of your children, and he's in the church, amen. Pastors, you want to encourage these men to take care of their children, to do what's necessary to take care of their children. My father was a cab driver. My father was a cab driver all of my life. And whenever it was time for me to go to school, he'd drive that cab 24/7, no dose, popping pills, doing whatever it took in order to make sure that I had what I needed to have to go to school. Whatever it was for Christmas, things of that nature, he was always working hard to ensure that I had what I needed, you know, because he was a father. So you want to make sure that you're providing for your children. You want to make sure you're giving them what they need. And you want to make sure if you're not married, that you're just not out here spreading your seed and creating and not taking care of. Amen. Come on, man. You don't want to do that. First and foremost, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I think we need to go back to a precedence of, or to a mindset that we're looking for a wife. We're not looking for a boo thing. We're not looking for, you know, somebody to just would link to keep feed us. We're not all of the negative connotation that go along with today's society and how they view women and how they condescend and talk about women. We want to go back to the biblical way. To the biblical way. Set your eyes on the prize. Amen. Set your eyes on the prize. Find you a good thing, and that, you know, you can get obtain favor from the Lord. And so those are the things that we want to look at. Those are the things that I wanted to share with you, just some of the things on tonight about being a father. And if you didn't get anything else, you don't take anything else away from this lesson, I desire that you take away from this lesson that you share the title. You share a handle with God as being a father. If you don't take anything else away from this lesson, I pray that you take away from this lesson that it is your responsibility to find out the attributes of Abba Father so that you can exemplify those same attributes in your own children. That you will be loving, that you will be kind, that you will be the provider, that you will do what the Word of God says, that you won't be an absenteeism father, that you won't be a deadbeat dad, that you will take care of your children. Amen. And so these are the things that we're looking to. So fathers, you have a great responsibility. And you have a great responsibility because you have to follow in the footsteps of Abba Father. He is your example, and he will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. Amen, as Christian men. So we want to pray. We appreciate all who are listening in, but we want to say a special prayer for fathers now. And our youth and our society, and we've even just kind of looked at some of the things about absenteeism fathers and how sons are not walking in the way that they should because they haven't had that male figure there to kind of lead them and guide them according to Scripture. It's the male, it's the father's responsibility to rear the son. It's the father's responsibility to correct the son, and he shall give thee rest, according to Scripture. It's the father who needs not to provoke the children unto wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's the father's responsibility. And because we have so many absenteeism fathers, we have these sons who are growing up, and they're repeating the sins of the fathers. And we want to come against that. We want the hearts of the sons to be turned back to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers to be turned back to the sons. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray now, God, for every man and for every youth in this nation. We cancel every strategy and operation designed to destroy manhood, oh Lord God. We come against the strategies to destroy their success, to destroy the family, oh Lord God. And we, even now, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that the mountain of the family, God, that we will reclaim it. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. We pray now, oh Lord God, for esteem of sons, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that you will help sons to gain honor, God. Take away that bitterness and that hurt, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, of sons whose fathers are not in the home and who are hurting because of it, oh Lord God. We pray for mothers, oh God, that are pouring salt into the wounds of these sons, oh Lord God, because the fathers aren't there, oh Lord God. Oh God, who are pouring in negativity, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we uproot every negative word, oh Lord God. Ha, ye shall say, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, we bind it now in the name of Jesus. We pray now, God, that these sons will be raised up, oh Lord God, to raise up because they honor you, oh Lord God. Their days may be long in the land, oh Lord God, and that because they honor you, oh Lord God, they will be well with thee. It will be well with them, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that they will honor their fathers, that it will be well, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we bind the spirit of a deadbeat dad. We bind that spirit of fathers who have walked away. We come against spirits of abandonment now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We pray now in Jesus' name, oh Lord God, that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, for that dad who does not want to take care of the child financially, who doesn't want to be there emotionally. He doesn't want to be there physically, oh Lord God. We reverse the curse of the enemy even now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We bind generational curses, oh Lord God, that their father wasn't there and they're not there for their fathers. And we bind that spirit now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, God. We pray now, oh Lord God, that even in your word you said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that loving kindness will just abide, oh Father, and that it would draw men back to their children, oh Lord God, that you would teach them, oh Lord God, how to have a relationship, how to co-parent, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, have your way, oh God. Look on America, oh Father God, the sin of the nation, oh Lord God. We pray now in Jesus' name, oh Lord God, that you will legitimize some things, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So we pray now, oh Lord God, that you would come against those who are oppressed, oh Lord God, those who are dishonored, those who are dominated, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You have no authority to enslave, oh Lord God. Satan, you have no authority to enslave. You have no authority to separate, to cast out, to cause division, oh God. We come against division now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. So we just thank you, oh Lord God, that you're reestablishing the foundation of the family, oh God. You're setting it back in rightness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You're putting it back in its... oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. So we pray now, God, that you will save men, that they'll rededicate their lives to you, oh Lord God, that you'll open up opportunities for employment, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We come against the curse in neighborhoods, oh Lord God, that they can't have a job, God. We bind the spirit that tells them they're only made to sell drugs, oh Lord God, to pimp women, oh God, to be a gigolo. We bind that mindset now, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. And God, we thank you for making your way known to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Order their steps, we pray in Jesus' name. It is so. And so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, God. So we just thank you all for joining us on tonight. We pray now that this word has been a blessing to you. Hallelujah. And we look forward to some things being reversed in your life. Amen. Amen. In the lives of fathers, we look for some things to be reestablished, for your footing to be reestablished, for rough places to be made smooth. Oh, Lord God, for you to find your children. Oh, Lord God, give them an eye to see where they are, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. So thank you for joining us on tonight, and we look forward to joining us again on next Tuesday at 7:30 Central Standard Time. It is our desire to put this on Facebook. Share it with somebody who you think needs it. Okay? Thank you so much for joining us. And until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.